Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Let's take our Bibles, Luke in chapter 1. You're probably already there. Let's read together, Gospel of Luke, chapter 1. You follow as I read. For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth, to accurately put in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us. In other words, these are sure things. Even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses, and the most powerful thing in a court of law is an eyewitness. Understand, Luke is writing this and he's saying, I saw all of this. I saw Jesus go to the cross. I saw Jesus rise from the dead. He says, the eyewitnesses and ministers of the word, it seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that means friend of God. We don't know a lot about this man. The book of Acts as well mentions him. He's a Hellenistic Jew, a Greek, I'm sure, that thou mightst know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. That there would be precise knowledge. And he takes right off and he talks about a priest named Zacharias and his wife Elizabeth, and they have a miraculous birth because they're old people. Zacharias is an old man. Elizabeth is an old woman. And God performed a miracle and they had a son. His name was John the Baptist. I'm going to pray in just a moment. I'm not preaching. I know you're standing. John the Baptist was his name. He was a cousin, actually ends up being a cousin of Jesus Christ. But John the Baptist, miraculous birth. Now he had an earthly father though, a little bit different than Jesus, obviously. A lot different than Jesus. But God, this is to be a special thing. And John the Baptist, he is the forerunner of Jesus. When Mary walks into Elizabeth, and they're together, you know, John the Baptist in his mother's womb leaps and say, you know, like something special is going on. I'm summarizing the chapter. The Son of God was there in the presence. Found, by the way, this isn't the message, and I know this has been scattered. I'm going to get it together here real quick. John the Baptist recognized who Jesus was. Hey, and neither one of them were born yet. You think maybe that was a real person in the body of Elizabeth? And maybe a real person in the body of Mary? Man, that's a different sermon. So John the Baptist was a PK. He was a preacher's kid. He was a son of a priest that was ministering. And there's a whole sermon there. But let's skip on ahead and let's go to verse 26. This is the rest of the story. I want you to understand. You know this, and this is just the best way I can think of saying it this morning. Behind every face is a story. Everybody here in the auditorium, behind every face is a story. We're real people. And the same thing is true with the story of Christmas, that first Christmas and the birth of Christ. Behind every character in the Christmas story, there is a full life that is being lived. And I just kind of want to give you some background of these different people and trust that it'll be a blessing to you and God will get a hold of your heart. Luke in chapter 1 and verse 26. First of all, let's talk about Mary very briefly. And Mary is not. There's some false doctrine concerning this. And I don't say this in a harsh way or a mean way. I'm praying some people are watching this morning that maybe have never heard this before. But understand, Mary is not the queen of heaven. Mary is a sinner, just like you and I are sinners. I'm going to show you this in the Bible. Mary referred to Jesus as her Savior. Her Savior. Mary was the handmaid, highly favored of God. She was a woman that honored God, but she needed a Savior because she was a sinner. And she was the vessel that God chose to bring the Son of God into this world. Mary, verse 26 of chapter 1, a wonderful woman, a woman of faith. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph. Now, this is a miraculous birth. Immaculate conception, that the way some people understand that today, that is a false doctrine. She was a sinner just like everybody else. She was a virgin, and God, and she conceived of the Holy Ghost, and she brought the Son of God into this world. But she didn't sit on a throne. She never thought about that. She was a woman of high character, high morals, and loved God. It says in verse 27, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, hail thou that art highly favored. Favored. That means she's found grace. And that's what was needed. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, a place of honor. When she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall be great. And he shall be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. Man, this had to be overwhelming, this young lady. It said, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? She had never been with a man. No intimacy. She was a woman of high morals. She was a virgin. And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Isaiah 7:14, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. Written 700 years before the event we're reading right now. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. Let me read just a few more verses. Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, the servant of the Lord, truly a humble woman. Be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into the city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she makes a proclamation here. I want to read this. This is important. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? And lo, for lo, soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. That's John the Baptist. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. And Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in, this is big, God my Savior. Amen. She knew that she was a sinner. She knew, and nobody is saved except for grace. The grace of God. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Nowhere in the 66 books that make up the canon of Scripture, the Word of God, is Mary called the Queen of Heaven. No, nowhere in the Word of God do people pray to Mary. I say this with all the kindness I have in my being for any of the Catholic folk that are watching here this morning. Nowhere in the Bible are we told to pray to Mary. We have one advocate, one mediator. His name is Jesus Christ. He's the Savior of the world, not Mary. And Mary doesn't have any undue influence upon Jesus. Jesus is God. He is his God. So the story behind the story, she's a virgin. She's pure. She's not sinless. She's moral. She's humble. And like many other of the Jewish handmaids at that time, they knew the Messiah was going to come. And all of them had hoped against hope that maybe they would be the one. Mary was the one that was highly favored. Mary was chosen of God. Number two, Joseph. And with Joseph and with Mary, what a challenge to New Testament Christianity. We're called to be holy. We are called of God to be moral. We are called of God, no matter what the culture does, to really stand up and stand out for God and go counterculture and be a New Testament Christian saved by grace. Let's talk about Joseph here very quickly. Gospel of Luke and chapter 2. Skip on over there. I'll read verses 1 through 4. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because it was of the house and the lineage of David. So Joseph is a carpenter, a man of faith, a man of high character, a man of high integrity, and God chooses him. Now understand, everything that's said about Mary as far as being a humble, moral person, ditto for Joseph. Joseph is the same deal. We don't know a lot about Joseph. In fact, after 12 years of age, Joseph is never mentioned again, 12 years of age for Jesus. And that's kind of an amazing thing. But he was just a man of God, a hardworking man, a man that honored God, and God chose Joseph just like he chose Mary. Let's read on just a little bit more. It says, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. Now that espousal period, interesting for the Jews. It was a one-year period of time. Kind of like an engagement, but not an engagement. They were to no intimacy. They were to stay separated. But when a woman was espoused to a man and vice versa, they were as good as married. But the espousal period was 1 year in length. 1 year in length. And the man would go back and prepare the home. And he would get it ready. And when the 1 year went by with a parade and great celebration, the groom would go to the bride and take her and bring her back to his home. What a picture of the rapture. Jesus one day is coming back for his bride, for his church. He's gone to prepare a place for us. What a wonderful thing that is. But Joseph, again, not a perfect man, but a man who is striving to live for God. Let's go to chapter 2 of the Gospel of Luke. You're already there. And let's look at verse 8. We have the shepherds. And I'm trying not to spend too much time on any specific person. Just one verse on the shepherds here. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. If you've done any research and any study on this, it is thought that the only time the shepherds stayed in the field with the sheep was late summer and early fall. And other than that, into the winter months, they'd always bring them into the fold. But the shepherds were out, and in all likelihood, these were, and I can't say this with absolute certainty, but in all likelihood, these shepherds were watching the sheep for the temple, the sacrificial lambs. What a picture. And the fact that the angels would go to the shepherds, some of the lowliest people in Jewish society, and proclaim to them the message, the Savior has come. The Messiah has come. And I would tell you this morning, I think these shepherds knew the score. I think they understood. They were all looking for the Messiah. Let's read on here. I want to pick up a few more verses about the shepherds. Look at verse 15. It says, and it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord made known unto us. And they came with haste, didn't waste any time, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known it abroad, the saying which was told them concerning the child. There's the traditional hymn, go tell it on the mountain. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. So in other words, they were broadcasting it. And Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. So these shepherds out in the field, the Judean hills, all of a sudden the sky breaks out with angels. They're told that the Messiah has come. They're quaking in fear. They go into the city, the little village of Bethlehem. They find where the stable is, and they go and they find the baby. There's Mary, and there's Joseph, and the Son of God. And they worship him. And they stand and bow and maybe even lay prostrate in wonder and amazement. That's the Messiah. How could this little baby be the Messiah? It is interesting to me that the first people that found out about the birth of God in this world, the incarnation, were shepherds. And we don't know anything about them. I would say we could call them evangelists. And maybe later, some of them end up being pastors. 33 years later, right? Yeah, you know these shepherds didn't fall away from God. I don't think they did. I got to believe that they kind of followed the whole story of Jesus. And maybe it was from afar. But I could see some of them actually pastoring churches. I could see some of them being missionaries. I could see some of them being evangelists. Because they were evangelists right away. They went back and they told everybody right away. And it may have been a strange lot. I mean, you'd think important people would have been told. Some of them may have been old men. Some of them may have been young men. Maybe everybody in between. Some of them may have been fat. Some of them may have been short. Some of them tall. Some of them smart. Some of them not so smart. And I remember not many mighty, not many noble are called. And oh, God is calling shepherds even yet today. And missionaries and evangelists. And they made haste. They went and told others right away. Let's look at the angels. Chapter 2 and verse 9. Look at verse 9 through 14. The obedient ones. I understand the angels are already finished their probation in eternity past. A third of the angels followed Lucifer and were banished from heaven and thrown down to this earth. And some are in chains of darkness. So these angels that are making this proclamation, they're the mighty ones. In fact, Gabriel is identified as one of these angels earlier on. I think it's probably some of the same angels. And Gabriel is the one that stands in the presence of a holy God. No wonder they feared and they quaked in his presence. No wonder every time an angel is mentioned in the word of God, man, men fall like dead men, because these are the mighty ones. These are the holy ones. These are the obedient ones. Chapter 2 and verse 9. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. That's Gabriel, chapter 1, verse 19, right? And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. Man, all of a sudden, Shekinah glory is just lit up the sky, indirectly through the angels. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings. That is the same root word in the Greek we get the word evangel from. Evangelism. That is good news. That good news that Jesus made a way for man to go to heaven. That's what the Messiah coming to this earth is all about. That's what the incarnation is all about. That's why his name is called Jesus. He'll save his people from their sins. You want good news? I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Jesus saves. Verse 11 says, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ, the Lord. Those are titles. The Savior has come, and he's Christ, the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. He'll be in a manger, and he'll be wrapped in swaddling clothes. There'll be other babies in Bethlehem, but not like that. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, I wonder what the multitude was. We just got through singing in the cantata about 100 million angels. In adult Sunday school 2 weeks ago, in the book of Revelation, we talked about the 100 million angels and millions of millions around the throne of God. And I'm thinking the incarnation, the birth of the Son of God, the announcement of the birth of the Son of God. I don't think it'd take any less than 100 million angels. I picture not just a few angels in an angel choir with little feathery wings. like we had up here for the Christmas Sunday School Christmas program. And those wings were pretty impressive. Were those the same wings they had last year? I don't remember, but they were impressive. But you know, just a few kids up here. Can you imagine the sky lit up by the 100 million angels singing glory to the Son of God? They know the score. They know who this baby is. They know, they don't understand it completely, but they understand, they do know what's going on. And they're on assignment, and they can't help but celebrate. They can't help but burst out with joy. It says in verse 13, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill to men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them in heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. These are the obedient ones. These are the holy ones. These are the angels that did not rebel against God. And they knew that that little baby there in the manger, they didn't know how, but that little baby was the one that they knew, the very Son of God. God the Son taking on the robe of flesh, humbling himself, yes, humiliating himself, and being born in a stable with livestock, straw, laid in a manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes. A father, a mother, in wonderment, the shepherds told what to do, and they eventually get there. The story behind the story, Mary is a sinner like everybody else and needed Christ, but she was highly favored of God. She was found grace in the eyes of God. Joseph, a good man, a hardworking man. He watched Jesus grow. I often think about that. Jesus did no sin, not even as a boy. But he still needed instruction because he grew, the scripture tells us. And Joseph, that was placed on Joseph's plate. And then the shepherds, they were the ones that were given the message. The angels, there in the horizon, singing with all of their being, the glory of God has come to this earth. The Messiah, that light in the darkness of this world. And then the Magi. Go to Matthew chapter 2. This will probably blow some of you out of the water. There's a lot of misunderstanding concerning the wise men. Number one, the wise men were not necessarily kings. They were not necessarily from the far east like we think. That's not, I don't think, the case. The wise men were not there at the stable. I'll show you that. Let's read it. It says, now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men, magi, men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? Now listen, the reason they knew the Old Testament prophecies. They studied, that's why they knew where to go. They studied the word of God. They knew what the prophecies were of the Messiah. And when the star came, they understood, now's the time. He's born. It says, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen a star in the east and are come to worship him. The star didn't necessarily, in fact, I don't think the star led them. They knew where to go. But then the star appeared again, and they rejoiced in it, and it was right over the stable where Jesus was, and that's how they knew where to go. Verse 3 says, and when Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Why do you think they were troubled? Because there's a whole caravan that had showed up. Mighty men, probably an armed military escort. These were magi. These were men of renown. These were men of wealth, and they were bringing gifts. So, and all of a sudden, here in the city, these men are here from the east, and everybody's troubled. Verse 4 says, and when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes and the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor and shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently diligently for the young child. When ye have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. And of course, you know the Christmas story. That's not what Herod was wanting to do. He was jealous. He wasn't going to allow another king to be born, so he was going to kill that child. Verse 9 says, and when they had heard that the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was, descended over Jesus. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding joy. And when they were come into the stable, no, that's not what it says. When they were come into the house, they saw the young child and Mary his mother and fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. You know the rest of the story. In verse 16, Herod slays all of the children that were 2 years old and under. So when the Magi arrived, when these wise men that knew the Old Testament arrived, Jesus was anywhere between months old and 2 years old. And Jesus was no longer in the stable. Now he was in a house, and the wise men come and they bring gifts. And it doesn't say three wise men. It mentions three categories of gifts. For all I know, there may have been 25 wise men. I have no idea. But they brought gold and frankincense and myrrh. And God was providing for Joseph and his family, because they were going to flee to Egypt. And they were going to stay there until God said, it's time to go back to Nazareth. So God provides in every single way. We have Mary, we have Joseph, we have the shepherds, we have the angels, we have the Magi, and then of course we have Jesus. Luke in chapter 2, let's go back there again. Verses 25 through 32. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. This is in the temple. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Time has gone by. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, they took him up, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. He's talking about the baby Jesus, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, amen, and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. So here's an old man in the temple. He was promised by God he would see the Messiah before he died. Now he's an old man. There's Mary and Joseph coming to present Jesus after the custom of the law, and he was to be circumcised, and they brought him to the temple. And Simeon, as soon as he sees the baby, God the Spirit says, Simeon, that's the Messiah. That is the Jesus that you've been waiting for. God, I promised you that you would see him. There he is. And he walks up to the young couple, and he takes the baby in his hands and he holds him up and he says, mine eyes have seen thy salvation. And Mary and Joseph, they're like, wow. He says one thing after another. And obviously, Jesus is the Son of God. Amen. Now listen, we can't be like Mary, and we can't be a Joseph, and we sure can't be the angels, and we're not the Son of God, but we can be like the shepherds, and we can tell everybody. We can be like the Magi and come and bring gifts and lay them at the altar and be faithful with the tithe. And the Magi worshiped the Son of God. The shepherds, they worshiped as well, but they were told, go tell. That's for the church. God loves Tim Rader in spite of me. And God loves you in spite of what you have done and the baggage that you carry. We can't be Mary. We can't be Joseph. We can't be the angels. We certainly will never be deity, but we can be the shepherds. And we can be the Magi.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book. Broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbc.org. www.thegoodbookonline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.